And Brother First, it's been a blessing to know you over the years. And Lighthouse Baptist Press is a blessing to us. We're glad to invest in it. And it's good to have you back with
Praise
us.
Praise God, brother. Praise God. Thank you, preacher. Amen. I'd like you to turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy tonight. Amen. I guess probably the most important thing I want to share with you right now is that I'm so grateful for what you folks have already done for us. Amen. And appreciate the hospitality, appreciate the accommodations and the filling up of the gas tank and all that. That means a lot. And we feel at home. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. One of the things that the effort that we put forth is God says we're to live by faith. Amen?
Amen.
And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But it's a blessing. And I just look down. I see these two young ladies and the second, third generation. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And graduating, finishing college, and all those things, preparing their lives for what God has for them. Amen. So I'm going to embarrass them a little bit. Amen. But it was a joy and a pleasure just to visit. And by the way, preacher, I've copied everything down. We're going to do this same thing that you just did. We're going to do the same thing at our church. I'm going to walk into my pastor's office and then plead, amen. Not demand, plead. But he's a dear, dear brother, and has taken the work over. Our senior pastor, founder of our church, retired. Just physically could not do it anymore, but the heart was still there. And he's honored irregardless, irrespective of that, amen. But we have a dynamite preacher that took it. That matter of fact, that Dr. Williams trained for almost 9 years to fill the slot, and it's just been tremendous. And God has really blessed our church in a miraculous way, and things are really going well. And we praise the Lord for that. Amen. But I'm off on a rabbit trail right now. But I'm just going to get back on it and get back to the most important thing is tonight. I know you're in preparation for the mission in Ephesus. But folks, if we do not live by faith, we do not live. If we do not live by faith, we do not live. Because God says the just shall live by faith. Amen? And we need to have that uppermost in our heart and our desires. Would like you, if you haven't already, to 2 Timothy. And I think I preached this once here about maybe 10 years ago, maybe more than that. Matter of fact, this message, and I'm not going to be using some of the examples I used the last time, but this message, matter of fact, I think I preached it about maybe in 2006, 2008, something like that. But it was a result, the first time I preached this message, it was a result of, there were seven pastors, including myself, that went to Baghdad, Iraq, and started a church. One was killed, and three others were wounded seriously during a terrorist attack. But the emphasis was, and I'm going to be give you a message already. The title of it is it fear or is it faith that rules you? And God has not given us a spirit of fear, has he? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? We're going to get into that tonight concerning, but it won't be dealing with Iraq tonight, but the principle is still there. Well, I'm going to really make you upset with me, but I'm going to have you stand in reading of God's word, amen? Everybody's all comfortable. He says, boy, I wish he had never showed up, amen? Amen. But it says right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Timothy was not his blood son. He was not his natural son, but he was his spiritual son. Paul adopted him as his own. And he says, I thank God whom I serve with my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And then he says these words, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then he says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. When he calls to remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first was what? In his grandmother and his mother. We have an awesome responsibility, Mom, Dad, Grandpa, Grandma. We have an awesome responsibility to our children and our grandchildren. They need to see faith in you. They need to see the faith. They need to see that unfeigned faith, unquenchable faith, unreserved faith, undoubting faith, amen? They need to see that it's real. It's not just words, but it's real. God says we're to walk by faith, amen? We're to live by faith. I could go on and on and on and just sit here on the unquenchable, yes, the unquenchable, unfeigned faith. And it's not just words. And a lot of times I'm sad to say we can quote all the scriptures and we can say, the just shall live by faith. But do we live it? Do we live it every day? Do we live it every day? Now let's go to the Lord in prayer and I'll let you sit down, okay? Because I was starting to preach, all right? All right. Lord, Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord God, again to just bless, touch our hearts tonight, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. When I recall to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. It ought to be so in our lives that we have that distinguishing, I guess, mark of a person who lives by faith. And I know that each one of us could probably raise our hands and say, yes, I know of someone who walks by faith, who lives by faith. Can we not raise our hand and say that? Amen. Why it should be 100% every one of us is walking and living by faith. And it says in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And then he says these words, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When I got the phone call, as a matter of fact, David, Pastor, did you remember Dr. Gary Prisk? Brother Prisk was a close friend. I think he used to come to the prison when I was the prison chaplain at the Wyoming State Pen, and he'd walk the tears with me. He was a gracious, gracious man. And I remember him when he found out that I'd sent out a couple letters to a couple preachers asking for a little bit of help to buy the airplane ticket to Iraq, and actually it was to Amman, Jordan, and then we were going in to start the church there in Iraq, and I sent that letter out to maybe 10 or 15, I guess it was. And I got a phone call from Brother Prisk, and he said, Brother Tom, I'm not comfortable about this. I'm really not comfortable about this. I said, are you absolutely sure that you should be going to this? Because there was still some fire there. There were still some things going on. It settled out with the armistice or whatever, the ceasefire had begun, but there was always these terrorists and everything. it's pretty obvious what transpired when one of our men was killed and three were wounded, that he had every right to be concerned. But he said those things. He says, "Are you absolutely sure? Absolutely sure?" And I told him, I said, "I make a covenant with you. I'm going to pray through this, But I believe with all my heart that God is wants me to go." And I prayed through. And I started reading scripture, and I was reading Timothy. And when I read these words, "For God hath not given me the spirit of fear," I asked the question, and I rhetorically, but it also says, when I talk to Brother Prescott, I says, "If I don't go, who's going to go?" Amen? And that was the emphasis of that. Concerning the fear factor is the simple fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Let me ask you a question. Who has given you the spirit of fear? You better believe it. I'm sad to say that most Christians, many Christians do not live by faith, but live by fear. Fear controls their life. Not ought to be so, amen? That not ought to be so. And the emphasis given here is that God says that we're not to live by fear. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power." Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Pastor alluded to that today already when he read this text. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you once in a while, always, even unto the end of the world." Now look back what it says right here in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." All power is given to me, the heaven and earth. All power is given to heaven and earth. Then he says right there, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded. And lo, I am with you always." When you receive Christ as your Savior, you received Christ, didn't you? Amen? My Bible says all power is given to me in heaven and earth. That's Jesus. And Tom Furze died 1972, September 17th, or September 14th. And who lives? Who lives in me now? Who lives in me? Then if Christ lives in me, I have all the power of God, amen, in me. We are so stupid. We have the power of God at our disposal, within us. But we don't tap it. We don't tap it. If we tapped it, we'd be living by faith, wouldn't we?
That's good. Amen?
The just shall live by faith. You can have the power of God in your life. And one of the emphasis, one of the thoughts that I thought about, an illustration that I had years ago when I was pastoring in Wyoming. This fellow came to a revival. And he opened up his heart and received Christ as his Savior. He came off the oil fields, off the rigs, and he was a drugger and he was an alcoholic. But as soon as he received Christ as his Savior, old things passed away. All things became new. Amen?
Amen?
He got the whole dose. The whole dose. And he started just coming to church, darkening the doors. Every time the church doors were open, he was coming. Danny wanted to do everything he could to serve God, to be right, to have a right relationship with his family, and not allow booze and alcohol and the drugs to infiltrate his family anymore. And things were going well for about 6 months. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. And it's from Lisa, his wife. She says, "Pastor, I'm afraid Danny hasn't come home yet. First time in 6 months or whatever. And I don't know what to do." And I says, "What do you think is?" "Well, the place where he used to hang out," she told me. I got off the phone, hung up, and got in my car and drove down to this bar. I didn't walk in, I just opened the bar door open, and I saw Danny sitting there at the bar. And I said, "Get out now!" Danny was bigger than me. But about that time, he just walked out sheepishly. He just walked out, and we walked up, got him in the car and drove up to the church, and he was soused. I just filled him. I don't know if I'll have judgment day. I filled him up with caffeine. I filled him up with as much coffee as I could. Amen. Right, for almost 4 hours, just filled him up and just kept talking to him and talking to him and talking to him. And he's crying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I says, "Yeah, you sorry mess. Don't tell me you're sorry, tell him. And he cried, and he says, "Okay." And he broke down and he asked God to forgive him. And he went on his way, and things were going good for another 6 months, and then it happened again. In the meantime, I'd been on him and really, really been coaching him and trying to be a help to him. And after that second time, I grabbed a hold of him again and brought him into the church, and we spent a lot of time talking, and he looked up at me, and after a while, just crying and weeping, and I says, "Those tears don't mean anything. You're just sorry you got caught. You're just sorry, but you're not repentant." And I said, "Danny, let go, let God. Let go, let God." And all of a sudden, it was maybe 15 seconds or so, but I guess it's like a light bulb went off. And he says, "I got it. I got it, preacher. I got it." He went home. And I'm here to tell you, 27 years later, he's never touched another drop.
Amen. Amen. Very good.
What was it all about? All power is given me into heaven and earth. Danny had the power of God, he just didn't realize it. Amen. Or accept that. Amen. And Danny's proof that he can live by faith. Amen. And he accepted that, and he allowed the power of God to control him, and he allowed the power of God to usurp the fear that a man might have. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power. Let's look at another text. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we have, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that the love that God hath towards us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Let me ask you a question. I got to come down. I'm going to look around here. Pastor, what's your little boy's name?
Kenneth.
Kenneth? Hi, Ken. How you doing, buddy? Amen. You doing so-so. Let me see your muscles, Kenny. Can I see those muscles? Amen. Amen. I'm going to give an illustration here. Kenny's at home. What kind of heat do you have in your home?
Gas, forced air.
Kenny's home. He's playing. He's messing around, having a good time. Having forts everywhere. Amen. Mom's outside. I don't know what. Talking over the fence with somebody else. Amen. And all of a sudden, there's an explosion. And all she can do is hear Kenny. Kenny? And all she can do is hear Kenny. And there's fire everywhere. What are you going to do? What do you mean you're going to go in? Aren't you going to call the deacons for a prayer session over this? You're going in. Kenny, your mommy loves you so much, she'd walk through fire to get you, to take care of you. Amen? Perfect love casteth out fear. Oh, I'm afraid, preacher. I can't handle this faith promise. I'm just barely making tithing right now. I just can't do it. I just can't see it. I'm afraid. I went over and started going thumbing through all the names of all the missionaries you have. Have you ever gone up there and grabbed a hold of those names, or do you have them on a list someplace? Are you praying every single day for these missionaries? By the way, you keep praying for them, you're going to fall in love with them. Amen. Amen? You keep praying for them, you're going to fall in love with them. By the way, that's what happened to us when we went to Baghdad, Iraq. We prayed and fasted for 3 months. By the time we got to Baghdad, we were in love with the Arabic people, the Muslims. We were in love with them. Perfect love casts out fear. Amen? They saw the difference. They saw the difference between Christianity and what they have. Ours is not a religion. It's a faith of love. Amen. 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 For God so loved, and the emphasis given is: you pray enough for somebody, you're going to fall in love with them. You're going to do that. You're going to love, just like she loved her son. She's going to go into that fire. You're going to do the same thing in a sense. Amen. If you love them, it's called agape love. That's called unconditional love. That can only be produced by having faith in the Son of God. Amen. Interesting. When we left Baghdad, Iraq, we left at 3:00 in the morning. Top secret. No one was supposed to know we were even leaving. because we'd already been, like I say, three were wounded and one was killed. Got out on the porch of the hotel there in Baghdad, started to get into the car, into the van. And all of a sudden we looked up and there were multitudes coming our way. They weren't coming to hurt us. They were coming with tears in their eyes. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. One of the guards who had an AK-47, and we'd see him every day. We'd walk into the hotel, and we'd shake his hand and just try to greet him, just to be as nice as we could. We all got back into the vehicles, and I looked up and I saw him. I said, just a minute. He says, no, we got to go first, just a minute. I got up, went up right up the steps, and there he was, AK-47 and all, tough as nails. And I started to shake his hand, and I said, wait a minute, they don't shake hands here. Come here. I started to shake his hand, and he said, no. I went up, and I grabbed a hold of him. And I hugged him, and I gave him a kiss on both sides of the neck right here. I won't do that to you. Do you hear me? He would not let go. He grabbed a hold of me and just squeezed. AK-47s between us and I. Just hope the bullet's not going to, amen. But just squeezed, amen. And Ronnie George, who is our interpreter, the man who started the first church in Baghdad, he said, don't let go, Tom, don't let go, don't let go, preacher, don't let go, don't let go. He's pouring his heart out right now. He says, he's saying, I want what you have, I want what you have, I want what you have. You know what it was? It's the love of God, amen?
Amen.
And that can only come by faith. Faith promises more than just giving. Faith promises falling in love with the missionaries and falling in love with the mission field. Having the vision of God. For God so loved the world. Amen? Amen. Turn with me. I got these written in my notes and I'm just trying to come through here. Just a second here. Second. Turn with me to, okay. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If there be therefore any, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of this one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We need to have the power of God, we need to have the love of God, and we need to have the mind of God. That's what faith promises all about.